Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
101 here on The Fan in New York City. It's Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on The Fan, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. The Mets wrapped up the I call it the first half of the season. I know games-wise, we've already reached the midway point a little ways back, but I feel like the All-Star break is a nice, clean sort of edit point here to say it's the first half of the season coming to an end and the second half of the season starts after this break. The Mets swept by Boston had an opportunity to salvage the series with a win on Sunday. Lindor was unable to turn a double play. Devin Williams couldn't get out of the inning. The Mets ultimately ended up losing in 10 innings. Here is Lindor after the game. Quote, it's unacceptable. This is about fans and how they feel about the first half. Quote, it's unacceptable. They shouldn't be happy with where we're at and how we are playing and how I'm playing. This was Francisco Lindor's message to Met fans ahead of the second half of the season. It's unacceptable. They shouldn't be happy with where we're at and how we are playing and how I'm playing. I've been very vocal about not wanting to trade Francisco Lindor, and I'll remain vocal about that. I understand the way he's played this year. I make this statement and this give this opinion with the knowledge of how this year has gone for him. It's been a weird year. He's been in sort of a funk, plus the injury. Can't explain it. Don't know if Francisco can explain it. Might be one of those unexplainable things. I don't read too much into it. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not putting a tinfoil hat on. I just think it's one of those things that are very difficult, if not impossible, to explain. What I can explain is what type of player Francisco Lindor is, what type of career he's had, what type of Met career he's had. Finished second in the MVP a couple years ago in 24. A million big hits, a million big home runs. Outside of this year, plays every single day at an all-star level, 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases, 90 RBIs, 100 runs scored. Just elite numbers from a shortstop defenses grade, from a shortstop and an leadoff hitter. And I kind of flush what I've seen over these first couple months and don't pay too much attention to it because I look at the overall body of work when it comes to him. And for the sake of the conversation, put any type of credence into the fact that Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor don't get along for whatever reason, I still don't think that's a reason to get rid of Lindor. I think you hire a CEO, adult in the room, head of the table, kind of manager, much like Harbaugh is for the Giants. And that's why it was so important for the Giants to hire John Harbaugh, in my opinion, because they had gone the route of coordinator time and time and time again, and it just wasn't working. And Brian Daboll seems like a nice fella, but I think he was more focused on being buddies with everybody instead of being a leader, somebody that rules with an iron fist. And that's something Harbaugh will do. He'll build culture. He'll build sustained winning. He's a taskmaster. He's an adult in the room. He's a CEO. And I think you're going to see immediate dividends with the Giants in 2026. When it comes to the Mets, I think they're in the same boat as the Giants in the sense that, okay, they don't have a manager. Andy Green is not going to be, I mean, this is David Stearns' words, he's not going to be the full-time manager after this year. He's only an interim for the remainder of the year, which will leave a vacancy going into the offseason, and the Mets will have to hire a manager. Now, I believe they're going to hire a general manager as well. I'm 80% sure it's going to be Carlos Beltran. But as far as manager goes, to me, that guy is Alex Cora. He's everything that Harbaugh is for the Giants. Cora would be that for the Mets. A champion, well-respected, great resume, adult in the room, leader, taskmaster, culture builder. He fell out of favor in Boston. I think it was a mistake to fire him. I think teams will be lining up to hire Alex Cora in the offseason, and that's where an Alex Cora can step in. Now, it's not going to be easy to get him to sign on the dotted line, although there is history between him and the Mets. He will be, he being Cora, very sought after. the Mets are going to have to really roll up their sleeves and put on their best recruiting pants. But I think it's a necessary hire. And I think it's the type of hire and the type of person that can build that bridge, you know, for the sake of conversation, if Lindor and Soto don't get along, Cora's the type of guy that can build that bridge. But even in spite of what we saw on Sunday from Lindor and some of the things we've seen this season, I just chalk it up to the unexplainable. I just chalk it up to one of those years, one of those things. And it's not something that I, if I'm running the show, I would panic on and trade him. And as a fan, I don't want to see him go either, because I don't really swim in the waters of, well, this guy doesn't get along with this guy. Like I said, for the sake of the conversation, if him and Soto don't get along, but I would still hire Alex Cora if everybody loved each other. He's just a great manager, but I think he could serve multiple different, you know, aspects of being the Met manager, including if they don't get along, Soto and Lindor, fixing that relationship. You know, Cora's no stranger to the stage. He's no stranger to a tough market. He's no stranger to a tough fan base, a demanding fan base. He's no stranger to dealing with superstar players. To me, he's the perfect managerial candidate and would be the perfect hire for the Mets. But that was Lindor's message after, and I'll read it to you again, to Met fans ahead of the second half of the season. So really, talking about the first half of the year, as it ended on a unable to get a double play turn by Lindor, lost the game in 10th innings, spoiled a Zach Thornton gem, spoiled another scoreless inning from Luke Weaver. This was the quote from Lindor. Quote, it's unacceptable. They shouldn't be happy with where we're at and how we are playing and how I'm playing. And I look, my fellow Met fans, a lot of them are unhappy. A lot of them are mad. A lot of them are upset. A lot of them are disappointed. A lot of them feel like they don't know if there's any direction with this organization. So I understand that for a lot of Met fans out there, that is their feeling on things, how it's unfolded. And probably more importantly, because the past is the past. And like Timon and Pumbaa say, you got to put your behind in your past. So whatever has happened over the last couple months, unless you can find a DeLorean and Doc Brown in the next hour, it is what it is. But the future, not only the second half, but just the future of this team, to me, that's where the focus should be. That's where my focus is. But I know for a lot of fans, they're not only upset about what has taken place, but also there's that anxiety, fear, frustration, doubt that this organization can get headed in the right direction, not only for the second half here, but also going forward. I feel very confident that things are going to go in the right direction and are going in the right direction. I do. I've always believed in the marriage of Cohen and Stearns. I've always believed in the... Now, sometimes it takes time for a marriage to work and thrive. You know, for anybody married out there, you don't always hit your stride 10 days in, or even 2 years in, or 3 years in, or 5 years in, or 10 years in. It takes work, takes time. But I always felt like the money of Cohen and the brains of Stearns, and just the idea that Stearns was able to make it work in Milwaukee where he doesn't have the resources that he has with Steve Cohen, and that marriage that the two have. And like I said, maybe that marriage takes time to sort of hit your stride with what Steve Cohen visions, what Stearns visions, how to mold the money with the brains, with the, hey, not every move has to be throw a bunch of money at somebody. We can build this franchise from the minor league system. You want a sustained winner. You want what's going on in Milwaukee, or really just give me a team that wins, you know, year in and year out that doesn't have the funds. And then when you couple the funds with that, now you're really cooking with gas. And I've always felt like it's going to make a good pairing, these two. And I think, you know, Steve obviously agrees with me because he didn't fire David Stearns. He's not going to fire David Stearns. He's already come out publicly and said that this year. Now, one of the things in the first half that the Mets could have done differently, certainly Mendoza getting fired sooner. That's a big one. We're just talking season-wise. We could, I suppose, rehash the offseason. But again, that's the past and way past Whereas this is more, okay, you could have fired the manager earlier, sparked the team, and got things going. I think it had a lot to do with the fact that Stearns was a huge Mendy guy. And they really, they being Stearns, with the co-signing of Cohen, at least for the first couple of months before Mendoza got fired, until I think ultimately Steve stepped in. There was a feeling of, all right, David, you're running the show. You're the president of baseball operations. This is your guy. He'll turn it around. I have faith in you and I have faith in him. And ultimately, Mendoza was shown the door. Green is just an interim. Alex Cora should be the guy. David Stearns will be the guy. I think the Mets are hiring a general manager. I do. And I think it's going to be Carlos Beltran. I'm 80% sure on that.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
And I'll continue to say this throughout the summer. This show, albeit airs on the side of positivity, it's not like we slam the door in your face if you're quote-unquote negative or upset or angry or frustrated. You're certainly allowed to call up and be upset and be mad and be annoyed and be, I will do my best to try to talk you off that sports ledge or to spin it positively to see if you could feel a little bit better. Because you know what? Sometimes you turn on that TV and you watch the Mets and it doesn't make you feel better. Maybe you turn on this show and it does. Maybe you laugh. Maybe you smile. Maybe I give you something where you go, oh, I didn't think of it that way. And maybe you'll view things a little bit differently, or at least for this week, because there are no Met games until Thursday. They start. It's a weird one. They start out on Thursday, Philly, and then they have Friday off, which is dumb, but whatever. They play Thursday. They don't play Friday. And then obviously they'll have the weekend of games against the Phillies. So you have plenty of time here to, I think, look forward, not behind. And think about general manager, the young players on this team, the direction of this team, the future of Clay Holmes, the future of Bo Bichette, the future of Francisco Lindor, the trade deadline. And like I've been saying, I hope Bo Bichette opts in. I'll give you a lean here mid-July. I think he will, just because he can make a ton of money with the Mets. Yeah, for 1 year, but whatever. And I certainly hope he does, because Bo Bichette has kind of fallen into that pattern of players that come with a big-time track record to the Mets, position players. He has fallen into that pattern of struggle early, but then ultimately turn things around. And I think Bo Bichette would have a monster year next year. And I want the Mets to be the beneficiaries of that. We already know Clay Holmes is, maybe he hasn't publicly said it, but there are reports, Will Salmon in The Athletic last week, that Clay Holmes is, I'm paraphrasing now the exact quote, but he's essentially very interested in a contract extension. I am very interested in it, and I think the Mets would be too. How could you not be? How could you not be impressed by the transition that Clay Holmes has made from reliever to starter? He got better this year. Better. Started looking like a front end. Like, in the beginning, it was like, all right, maybe Clay could be that 3-4 guy in your rotation. You watched him this year, and you're like, he could be your second starter. The way he was pitching, and a really good one, a damn good one. So that's a guy I would want around. Plus, he knows the market. He's not afraid of the market. He embraces being in New York. And I think it says a lot about his work ethic and his character that he was able to go from a reliever to a starter and be good the first year and then start to thrive in the second year. I think that says a lot about him. And that's the type of guy, the type of personality, and the type of, even, dare I say, leader in the rotation that I would want around for a bunch of years. And that, based on that Will Salmon report, can get done tomorrow if the Mets want. Clay Holmes is basically saying, I'm open for business with you guys. Not, I'll see. I think, like I said, that says a lot about Clay, that he wants to be here. Because he could have just said, well, I'll see at the end of the year, you know, see how the contract goes. He could have played games. But he didn't. Again, according to the report, that he's open to a contract extension here. So I like what I like that a lot. And if you've listened to the show, you follow me on social media, I've been a big time Clay Holmes supporter. And I think I'm just going off of what the Mets and how they think, but if the money and years are right, to me, it's a no-brainer, and it's a marriage that should continue. Bob is calling from Keyport here on After Hours. What's up, Bob?
What's going on, Tommy? Hey, how are you?
What's happening?
Yeah, first of all, just wanted to say, you were saying re-signing Clay Holmes is going to be a no-brainer. First of all, totally agree with you. Anything that doesn't take brains, the Mets are doing right now, so they'll definitely do that.
I'm not going to laugh when you make jokes at my baseball team. You know that, Bobby. Robert, as you know, I do like your calls. I find your humor funny. Positive Tommy will even laugh a little bit at his baseball team at the right time with the right joke. We had a caller last week that had a funny line about the Mets, and I laughed. But you got to earn that laugh from me, Bob. So that I'll give you a second chance. If you have another joke, let's hear what you got.
I'm just wondering, with the Mets, and I was making a list of, like, all the ways to lose. Just after tonight, is there any more ways? I wasn't sure.
Throw that one on me one more time, Bobby. You made a list, you checked it twice, and it was about the Mets. What was the punchline?
No, I made a list of all the ways to lose a baseball game. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to know, I checked off the last one with the Mets tonight. Is there any more that I missed?
You mean have the Mets lost in every single possible way in the first half?
Because I think after today they did.
Yeah. The other problem too, Bob, you know I love you. I do. And I always have a great back and forth. If the joke needs an explanation or you need to sort of follow up the joke, it's not as good. And I'm open to laughing. Even when it comes to my baseball team, I'll be a little bit of a harsher critic with that. Like when you call me and we make fun of Kenny Atkinson or we make fun of, then I'm more open and a little bit more jovial when it comes to my baseball team. Got to build a front here. It's very important. Especially because my baseball team right now is just getting dragged through the mud. Made fun of at every single turn. And I know Met fans jump in on it. But part of that is your frustrations and making yourself feel better, which I totally understand. I don't want to partake in it. But if you come with something good, I have a little chuckle, especially during the All-Star break. Why not? But yeah, when you need a little explanation, I wasn't going to give you a third one there. But you know I love you, Robbie. So feel free to call whenever. Hannibal is in North Jersey here on After Hours. What's up, Hannibal?
What's going on, Tommy?
Hey.
Logie!
What's happening?
Yo.
Yeah.
Dude, I love your show, man. Tommy, you know, I hear you talk about the Mets, and I'm like, damn, what the hell is he talking about? Like every night, I'm like, yo, this guy's too positive. But me,
I don't even know if it's that I'm too positive. I just think I'm positive right now in a Met world where it's all negative. So even positive Tommy in moderation feels like I'm being too positive. Because I think I've actually toned down the positivity for the last like couple of weeks. So that's why it's more positive Tommy in moderation. But I think just because you don't get any positivity, and I understand why you don't, but I mean, you don't get it anywhere else, that it feels like it's a shock to the system, you know?
Exactly. I'm like, yo, this guy's too positive. Like, but at the same time, me being a Yankee fan and me watching the Mets play today,
yeah,
you know, I'm like thinking to myself, yo, they played a good game. Like, if you think about it, until the Lindor foul up, but the pitcher did his job.
Yeah, Zach Thorne was good.
That pitcher, I was very impressed. I'm like, damn, bro, this guy's dealing.
Yeah, and he's getting another start out of the All-Star break, which is good. Young pitcher, so there's a lot of promise there.
That guy's going to be good. And then I'm like, wait a minute. So why, Tommy, I wanted to ask you, why did the Red Sox, like, they couldn't figure him out? Is it because he's a new pitcher? Or?
Yeah, look, whenever you see a guy for the first time, this can go for any team, there's always that, you don't have a book on him. You might have some notes, but until you see something for the first time, you're not going to really have a feel for it. You got to see him, you know, once, and then the second or third go around. Even in the game itself, you know, you always know, like, oh, that first at bat, then by the third at bat, you have a little bit better feel. But yeah, I think it's just stuff, and he was just confusing them. And yeah, I think he had the Red Sox sort of off balance, and then Weaver was great again. And like you said, the Lindor play happened, and the Mets got swept.
Exactly, Tommy. Yeah, but I'm gonna keep hearing the show. Keep it. Keep the positivity, bro.
Appreciate it, Hannibal. Now you. Now it's weird. It's weird because a lot of your Yankee brethren hate my positivity when it comes to the Mets. They or maybe they love to hate it. But it seems like you're in the category of you just love it. You just like it. You might think it's too much, but you appreciate it.
I love it. The thing is that, you know, one of my favorite movies was Major League.
Okay.
So every time I put the Mets on, it's like I'm watching Major League. Like,
well, hopefully with that, with the same ending. You know, hopefully with the same ending. You know, I know you. No, not with that ending.
Exactly.
Oh, you want that?
Yeah,
ending.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, with the happy. Yeah, with the ending, everything went. You know, worked out all right.
Yeah, it worked out all right. You know. But at the same time, I'm looking at the Mets and I'm like, yo, these guys just have to click and they'll be all right. Because if that game, I watched the whole game and I'm like, yo, these guys did a good job. But at the end, it was just a follow-up, man.
Yeah, if it's not one thing, sometimes, Hannibal, it's been another. And, you know, sometimes it's those things when it comes to baseball. And Positive Tommy can recognize, like you said, maybe I'm too positive. I like that. That could be a new nickname. Too Positive Tommy. Because I feel like recently I've been Positive Tommy in moderation, whether it's on social media or whether it's on this radio station. Because I feel like that's the right tone to set. I have different levels of Positive Tommy, and depending on the season, depending on the series, depending on the month, depending on the moment, I think you could unleash different variants of Positive Tommy. Whether it's overly positive, mildly, it's like wing sauce, you know what I mean? Blazing hot, mild, crazy hot. You know, there's different levels that you can order, and I'm the one doing the ordering because I'm the one delivering you the Positive Tommy sauce. And I have to keep in mind that there is an audience, and I never want to come off like I'm being disingenuous because not everybody buys into the positivity. I think it's helpful for many, but there are times where it's just, hey, you need a shoulder to cry on, and that's where I also say, hey, you come to the show, we'll laugh, we'll have a good time. Especially when you're not watching the game. To me, this needs to be more of an escape, and it could be a therapy session. I could be Tommy the therapist. It could be just, hey, the Mets are giving me a headache, and I could be Dr. Tommy, the doctor's in session. Or, hey, the Mets are doing well. We need Positive Tommy. Great. Positive Tommy is here. Or, hey, the Mets are doing bad. We need Positive Tommy even more. Or, hey, the Mets are doing really bad. And maybe we need Positive Tommy in moderation. Maybe we need a little moderation. Like, hey, you know, a little moderation. You know, it's just, you know, a little moderate. Like, hey, we've been in the sun all day. You know, the next day is really nice, too. Lay off the sun a little bit. We're going to get some sun, but we're not going to sit out there for 8 hours. You're sort of putting SPF 70 on Positive Tommy, which totally understand. And then, of course, you have the Yankee fans like Hannibal. And like I said to you, at least what I encounter on social media, which I know is not real life, but the radio station's a better judge of things. But there are a lot of Yankee fans. Now, when I give a little bit of Positive Tommy to their team, they love it. But when it's Positive Tommy towards the Mets, sometimes I think they're like, eh. Pipe down, or they love to hate it. They love to hate it. It's one of those things where they're like, we'll just shut up, but they listen. So, either way. But I'll always try to have a good barometer on what everybody out there is thinking when it comes to the positivity. But we try to keep it as positive as we can on the show, and that goes for really all the sports around here. Best we can. Best we can. Because last week, I had made what I thought were some funny comments about the Jets, and apparently it rubbed a few Jet fans the wrong way. I thought it was funny. Now, I will say this, and I come in peace. For some, there are Jet fans right now in July. Well, let me rephrase it this way. There are a portion of Jet fans that every July, and I may know one of them, I don't want to give his initials on the air, but he goes through the turnstile every year. The Jets have won the Super Bowl in his head in July every single season. If I were to joke about the team right now and he'd hear it, he'd be annoyed. He'll laugh, though, in October if I make the same joke. So there is a portion of the fan base in July that don't want their team to be poked and prodded and made fun of. Okay, fine. But I think ultimately the stuff I'm going to say about the football team throughout the summer, and by the way, it's with the Jets' best intentions in mind. They are. But I think in order, so we are running a promo, will the Jets take the next step? And I made the joke, yeah, off the cliff. But I think that's for the best, because by going off the cliff, you get the number one overall pick, you get that quarterback, and you turn things around. The Jets need their Jalen Brunson. They need their Jalen Brunson. Now, I know Jalen Brunson wasn't a first-round pick. Okay, great. But you know what? And I was wrong about Jalen Brunson. Maybe I'll be wrong about Cade Klubnik. I don't think so, but maybe I'll be wrong about him. I just don't think he's very good. The Jets do. Muji does, because they traded up for him, but I don't think he's good at all. Hope I'm wrong, for Jet fans' sake, because you know what? If you find your knight in shining armor, and you have your quarterback, you have your Jalen Brunson, you are off to the races. Doesn't mean you're going to win a championship next year, but I'm on, and that's why, for those that got upset about the Jet comments, perhaps you forgot about a couple weeks ago when I said, I am going to go on a positive Tommy campaign here to get the Jets to the promised land, but I have a window that I'm thinking in my brain of 5 to 10 years. I think that's fair. 5 to 10, that's for where they're at. Work with me here. Work with me.
He's the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land.
Geno's leading you to the number one overall pick. Hopefully. It's funny, I've been, not that we're going to, we'll get into this later, but boy, 5.5 wins. It's rare the books give you a gift. I would take that and run. I mean, if the Jets win six games, then, you know, whatever. But I mean, 5.5? Okay. I guess the theory is if Geno Smith is what he was in Seattle and not what he was in Vegas, but.
He's the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land.
And the promised land is the number one overall pick. It's the number one overall pick.
Better leader for the Jets. Aaron Glenn, Geno Smith, positive Tommy.
Positive Tommy. I've already been fired from that position once, but I'm going to reclaim my position there. Because let's be real, they need it. They need it perhaps more than any other franchise, the Jets. They need a voice like a positive Tommy. Like there are some positive Jet fans, you usually hear from them in July. They tell you about how many games they're going to win. And then by September, it's, I hate this team. You know, that clip that we have. But that's what ends up happening. The Jets sort of take all that piss and vinegar out of you, and you're just left with frustration. But that's why Positive Tommy has his 5 to 10 year plan, which I'm going to lay out for you throughout the summer here, because training camp begins later this month. So we're going to have a lot of football to discuss. We'll give up some breadcrumbs throughout the night. And then as this week goes on, we will go more in depth on both the Giants and the Jets and really the entire football landscape, including Aaron Donald coming back to the Rams. There's a lot. There's always a lot going on in football, but we'll pepper that in throughout the week, plus your baseball calls. If you're on hold right now, we will get to you. If you want to do Yankees, you want to do Mets, I will give you my do's and don'ts for the Yankees at the trade deadline. You don't want to miss that. We will get into some of the things going on outside of New York sports, including the Conor McGregor, can I even use the word fight? Whatever took place in Vegas with Conor McGregor and Max Holloway on Saturday night. World Cup, we're down to 4 teams, so give a little preview of the semifinals that's coming up this week. Plus, I had a revelation last week. I had a revelation on Thursday night / this weekend that I want to share with the audience. So I got you for another 3.5 hours. Yes, 3.5 hours. The warm-up show with Al and CeeLo comes your way at that time. If you want to hop on, call me up. The phone number, 888-808-1019. If you're on hold, we'll get to you. It's After Hours. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Meola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
135 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to those calls in just one second. But first, the Fan Focus. It's presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. The Home Run Derby is tonight. Kyle Schwarber is the odds-on favorite. There will be two Phillies in the Derby, Schwarber and Bryce Harper. As far as local representation, Ben Rice is in the Home Run Derby. He is considered a long shot, at least with the Vegas odds, but based on home run output this year, he is second in this competition. So certainly you would think would have better odds than he does. But he has his father pitching to him, which is super cool. Something they've done a million times together in their life. That's awesome. Really, that's the beauty. Like, when you get that type of story, that type of moment, especially if Ben Rice was able to win it, that's such a cool story. And that's some of the things you look forward to when it comes to the Derby. If you could have that sort of father pitching to son. And look, there'll be nerves from both of them, I'm sure. You know, Ben Rice obviously taking part in his first Derby, Home Run Derby, and his father pitching to him. I'm sure they're both going to be extremely nervous, probably the dad more than the son, because he's going to want to make sure that his father puts his son in the best possible position to thrive. Certainly not to get embarrassed or anything like that, but to thrive and make a deep run in the competition and hopefully win the whole thing. But I'll be looking out for that. Now, I'm on the air later on tonight at 9 o'clock, 9 to 1. We're airing a special Odyssey baseball show from 7 to 9. So normally I'd be on at 7 on an open night or a night where there's no game. A five-hour after hours, a big Lugowski. But tomorrow night or later on tonight, as it were, because of the special programming, I'll actually be on at 9 o'clock. So that'll be probably, what, a quarter or so way into the Home Run Derby, which I think starts at 8 o'clock. What do I look like, a TV guide? Do I know what time everything starts? I mean, this isn't 1985. If you don't know when things start, look it up. What am I here? Genie? You rub the lamp and I come out and I grant you three wishes? I don't know what the hell time it starts, but whatever time it starts, it'll be on at some point. And then I'll be on at 9, and then we'll go over everything together, including Ben Rice, including what happens tonight, and a little preview into the All-Star game, which to me is the best of the All-Star games. When it's across the four major sports, when you factor hockey, football, which now I think it's a water balloon fight. I don't know what they do for the Pro Bowl, or the skills competition in the Pro Bowl, to see whether the AFC or the NFC is better. This is better. The baseball is better than hockey. It's better than basketball, which has gone through a million different iterations and rule changes and format changes. Baseball, other than the farce that they had a bunch of years back where the winner would get home field advantage in the World Series, baseball has kept the All-Star game pure. It's kept it the same, and it's by far, through the years, the best of any of the All-Star games. Now, if you're baseballed out, if you're a Met fan, if you're a Yankee fan even and you're baseballed out, I don't blame you if you take a couple of days off. You got a little World Cup soccer, which we'll talk about in a little bit here. Semis on Tuesday and Wednesday, I think both are at 1 p.m. And then the finals, of course, will be here at MetLife on Sunday. It's also Fanatics Fest this weekend. Our shows will be out there, well, midday afternoon. So Evan Tiki, I think Evan's off. I saw him at the beach. I didn't really love his sunglasses choice, but people probably don't like my sunglasses choices, so I'm not going to necessarily pick apart Evan's sunglasses choices, but he's at the beach. So I think this is his yearly trip with the family to one of the Carolinas they go. But he was doing a Rico or something. So Evan's off this week. So I think it's going to be Sean and Tiki at Fanatics on Friday, and obviously Craig and Big Mac will be out there as well. But special programming note, yours truly on Saturday. How about this? Loogie in the light of day on Saturday. That's right. Loogie in the light of day on Saturday. This Saturday, Fanatics Fest. I will be broadcasting from our WFAN location. I don't know where it's going to be, but it's going to be somewhere in the Javits Center. I will be on the air Saturday, Loogie in the Light of Day, from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. So you'll have an opportunity to, this is very exciting, you have an opportunity to come sit there and watch me talk. I mean, that's really like watching Picasso paint. I mean, how exciting is that? You get to sit there like I'm a zoo animal and watch me speak to an audience that none of us can see. So that's kind of cool. And then obviously during the breaks, you can come up to me and you could take a picture. Now, I'll probably say no, but you could still ask. There's no harm in asking. I'll probably be like, get away from me. I want to be near you. I'm joking, by the way. These are known as jokes, what we're doing up here. This is the satirical part of the show. We're on for 5 hours, so we'll mix in some humor. But, yeah, obviously I'll take some pictures. And I will say this when it comes to Fanatics Fest. And we'll get back to your calls in 1 second here, I promise. Plus, coming up, my do's and don'ts for the Yankees at the trade deadline. You're definitely going to want to hear that one. I've compiled a list. When I go to Fanatics Fest, which I've been to over the last 2 years, awesome event. I'll get in autograph mode like Ricky Bobby. Yeah, I'll sign your baby. It's a very big autograph type of event. Obviously, people go there. There's all these huge celebrities, believe it or not, bigger than me. And then you get their autographs, and there's a lot of people walking around wanting your autograph, which is super cool. But I get in Ricky Bobby autograph mode to the point where, I think it was 2 years ago, the inaugural, maybe it was last year. Either way, it doesn't matter. The year doesn't matter. But one of these years that we were there, I signed somebody's jersey. It was a Met jersey. It might have been Brett Beatty. Not literally Brett Beatty. That would be funny if Brett... Hey, Ricky, I love you. Sure, Dale, I'll sign you. But it wasn't literally Brett Beatty. I think it was somebody wearing a Brett Beatty jersey. It was definitely a Met jersey. And he said, hey, can you sign my jersey? I said, sure, no problem. Didn't even think about it. But anyway, after that, I got caught a little heat for it with some of the folks around here because they felt like, well, you shouldn't be signing this dude's jersey. I'm like, well, he asked. So if I get in autograph mode, I'll sign whatever. You could drop your pants. Well, maybe don't drop your pants, but whatever. I'm signing whatever it is that's in front of me. Taking pictures because it's that type of event. It's a lot of people that show up. And again, you get to see me talk. Think about how cool that is. The way the setup's been the last couple years, if you haven't gone to Javits Center, is there's benches to sit on. And then I'll kind of be up on and all our hosts that are there. And like I said, it's Tiki and Sean on Friday, C-Mac and Craig on Friday, although certainly not in that order. We know Craig and C-Mac would be the order. And then on Saturday, McMonagle's doing a solo show, then I'm doing a show, and then Keith is doing a show. So McMonagle, the law firm of McMonagle, Lugauer, McPherson, will be on Saturday, solo shows from the Javits. And then I think Sean and Tiki on Sunday morning. So a lot of shows at Javits. If you're going for Fanatics Fest, that'll be a big time weekend. Baseball will be back full swing. Sunday, like I said, the World Cup final. So a very big, and it's local. It's here at MetLife. So a huge weekend in the tri-state area. Huge. Huge. Yankees, Dodgers, which is here too, right? Yeah, it's got to be because the games are early. Yep. So Yankees, Dodgers here at Yankee Stadium. Mets will be in Philly. The finals of the World Cup is Sunday, and Fanatics Fest is this weekend. And like I said, we're going to be doing a ton of shows, including yours truly, Loogie in the... What was it again? Loogie in the Light of Day on Saturday, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Very much looking forward to that. Very much looking forward to meeting all of you out there. And like I said, if you want an autograph or a picture, I'll be in Ricky Bobby autograph mode. So whatever you need, I'll sign your baby. Whatever you need me to do out there. I can't leave, literally. Like, contractually, I can't. Probably by a half hour in, I want to leave. But, I mean, no, I have to sit there for 4 hours. I'm joking. I'm very excited. I'm very much looking forward to it. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation for the next 3+ hours here on The Fan. Let's head out to Jay in the Bronx. What's up, Jay?
How's your summer going, pal?
It's great. How's your summer going?
Good. I want to say really quickly my two highlights of the summer so far. I was at Germany, Ecuador at MetLife. Just want to say really quick, That stadium has never heard a pop. Like when Ecuador scored that second goal, and I say that kind of like, you know, diminishing what the Jets and Giants do there. But that was something really special. The second highlight.
You know what it is, too, Jay, and you were there. When I'm watching these World Cup matches at MetLife, MetLife just seems like a better stadium with the soccer there. Like it looks,
The foreigners that come here, they actually rave about MetLife. They don't care that it's really weird, but at the same time, they go to stadiums that are like 15,000. Any stadium here they're going into, it's like a cathedral.
Right, because of the capacity.
The other game I was also at, I also went to Brazil, Norway. You had a caller last week. I just had to chime in. He said that the Norwegian fans were doing, you know, relations in the bathroom.
Yeah, that was Ozzie and Woodridge who had heard that from someone.
He was, yeah, that I was, what he was saying is the equivalent of this. Imagine the Jets were hosting the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. It was tied in the end of the fourth quarter. What he was saying is, yo, the Jet fans were in the bathroom doing you know what, because they were so excited. It didn't make any sense. They were playing Brazil in the round of 16. The whole country stood still. I just had to chime in on that.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad that you did that, Jay, because Ozzy, who calls weekly, I'm going to say that you brought this up, and then I'm going to have him go to his source, and we're going to try to get to the bottom of this. Because
you can also say that
he went unchecked with that
rumor. That's actually insulting to the Norwegian
fans
there. Because you really think they paid that price?
No.
No,
you can have relations wherever you want.
Maybe cringe a little bit.
Yeah, you can have it at the hotel.
I didn't mean to call about the World Cup.
No, it's all good. It's all good. No, Ozzy needs to hit the podium.
Germany, Ecuador, that pop, dude, like MetLife Stadium has never heard something like that. There were parents leaving with their children who had the headphone things on. That's how loud it was. It was insane.
Well, MetLife hasn't seen a lot of playoff games, so
no.
It's hard to argue that.
No, but if it sees France-Argentina, that's really, or England-Argentina.
Well, really, you can't go wrong here, but for my money, a rematch from 4 years ago to get Mbappe
exactly
and Messi on the
want.
Field. Yeah,
exactly
that's the
what
one.
People want.
Yeah.
Quick question for you. I called a few months ago. You were doing show recommendations. Did you ever do Dark?
No, did I ever watch the show? No, I wasn't able to get around to the. So, for those of you tuning in right now, I needed a show to binge watch, and you had suggested Dark, which is a show very similar to Stranger Things. You know, it's at least in the same sort of bracket as far
no,
as.
No, if you no, you might recall, but I think it just kind of does a you know what on Stranger Things. I just think it's better. It's more.
But no, I'm not saying that it's not better, but it's kind of. It's not like it's a rom-com TV show.
Yeah, but if you ever hear somebody say they love Stranger Things, like they're really not as intelligent as they pretend to be.
What if I love Stranger Things, though?
That's what I need to watch, Doc.
Gotcha. But, subtitles, too, right?
I want to do one thing, baseball with you now. I've tried to defend you with your positivity. I think it makes sense outside the box, but I've also had a lot of Met fans text me, like, your screenshots of tweets, like, they're done with you. Here's one thing I want to...
Well, they're done with me until they start winning, and then they'll be back. That's how
Well, not even that. I'm a Yankee fan by heart, by trade, but, you know, sports really don't matter. You know, results don't mean, but what I want to say against you kindly, I remember when you were saying when, you know, Boone had some comments about Soto and spring training, you were saying that's little brother mentality, blah, 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 coming off the season you just had last year, which was diabolical in my opinion. It was a repeat of the Wilpons losing to the Marlins in that way. Now what you're doing this year is something the Wilpons have never done. And all of a sudden it has to become positivity for the future. When you signed Juan Soto and suddenly became the big brother, I'm not trying to come at you. I think like you're trying to harvest coconuts and all the, you know, 90% of the coconut trees just burned down.
I disagree with that, but I think he signed He signed a very, very, very long term deal. He didn't sign a 2 year deal, so it is a long journey. The Juan Soto era. It doesn't matter how it starts.
I also mean that in a way. I'm a Devils fan. And when we beat the Rangers in Game 7 a couple of years ago, I walked out the arena and Devil fans were singing the Rangers goal song. That's called inferiority complex.
Well, I don't know about that, though, because the Devils, to me, are a more successful franchise than the Rangers. Now, you want to tell me the Rangers have more fans, fine, but the Devils have been a more successful franchise.
No, well, what I'm trying to say is that really turned me off. Like, I walk outside the arena and the bars are blasting the Rangers goal horn. That's inferiority complex. And I really don't like that. That means you're giving them attention.
Yeah, but that's everybody, though. I mean, the Yankee fans do that with the Mets, the Giants and Jets.
Respectfully, you saying, oh, the Mets have become big brother now with what has just gone on, like...
Well, I didn't say it. I haven't said it in forever, so I'm not sure that...
I know you have it, but that it should never
have been said to begin with.
Well, why not? Should never have been said to begin with.
Why not?
I won a World Series.
Okay.
That's where
But I can't say it, but they won the Soto sweepstakes.
Well, that
but why should it shouldn't bother you that much? That what I say then? If I say something, then you should just it's positive Tommy being positive Tommy.
Yeah, we agree to disagree with that. Thanks for the nice conversation, man.
Fair enough. Jeez, people taking screenshots of my tweets and they're saying they're done with me. Okay. Based on shining a little positivity on the Mets, you'll be back. You'll be back. You'll be back. You'll be back. And the positivity door is always open. The positivity train, I've always said, there is a great train headed to the station. And I'm getting on it. Now, for this Mets season, when that train pulls up, I suspect I'll be the only one getting on it. But I will save seats for everybody. See, I'm going to the moon. I'll meet you at the stars. And yeah, Positive Tommy, many ways, is like Batman. And sometimes I can be vilified, and sometimes there feels like Gotham doesn't need Batman. And in many ways, I'm like Batman because I'm fighting the good fight after hours, which is what we do here on the show. And part of my revelation that I had last week, which I'm going to share with you guys coming up, has to do with that good fight, which we had a bunch last week, and I'm sure we're going to have a bunch this summer, which is all good. But in many ways, I'm like Batman. I fight the good fight after hours, and sometimes these citizens of Gotham feel like they don't need a Batman, and Batman is vilified, and they want to shun or disown Batman, which is sounds like what your friends are doing, sending you screenshots. I'm done with Positive Tommy. But if the Mets win 10 games in a row, they'll be back on the Positive Tommy trim. See, that's the thing about Positive Tommy is I can't be sensitive. Clearly, if you read some of the things people say about me, if I had any level of sensitivity, I'd be out of the business. I'd be literally crying in my soup. But this is my cross to bear. This is my mission in life, is when things are going great, everybody loves Positive Tommy. When the Mets are where they're at this season, a lot of people are going to hate Positive Tommy. I accept that. I'm okay with that. I'd like to think that those that are done with me would actually respect the fact that I stay the course with the positivity. Now, the big brother, little brother stuff, I've been very respectful of not saying that in a very long time. I've been very positive with the Yankees. I think I've been very good about that. Very good about that. And what I say and not say, that's up to me. I say whatever, and I'll face the consequences of that. But as far as Juan Soto, I mean, this is a long, long, long contract. 2 years is just a pimple on the ass of the length of the contract. A long way to go for it. So if you think I spoke too soon, don't make the same mistake in speaking too soon on your behalf. But the good thing about Positive Tommy is I'm very forgiving. And for those that have disowned me, for those that are done with me, for those that sometimes don't like the tweets after losses, what I can tell you is that that great train is pulling up to the station. And even if I'm the only one getting on it, I will save seats for everybody on it. And when you're ready to join me again, I will welcome you with open arms. And I will not, in the slightest, hold anything against you for abandoning me. It's okay. I get it. I do. I understand that. But that's what you need, though. You need somebody like me that even in the toughest of storms, somebody that stands firm on something, even if nobody wants to hear it. Because when you do start to want to hear it again, you'll be happy to hear it. And I've accepted that responsibility. And I have carried the positivity torch for quite some time now. And I can will continue to carry it, even if it's Positive Tommy in moderation. But I think I've been very, very, very fair. This is from the Yankee fan here. Very, very fair. I haven't brought up a big brother. I keep telling you the Yankees are going to the World Series. I think I've been very fair there. And part of saying things like that, whether it's me on the radio or whatever, that's part of the fun of New York sports. It's all good. I could look like a genius. I could look like an idiot. You can call me up and say I look like a genius. You can call me up and say I look like an idiot. That's the fun of what we do around here, because it's not just one team in each sport that we root for. There are lines in the sand. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. My do's and don't lists of the Yankees and their trade deadline, that is coming up. Plus, some of the other things that are going around in sports, including reaction to what happened to Conor McGregor on Saturday night in his return to the Octagon. If you want to call up, join the show, 888-808-1019. I'll let you know about my revelation that I had late last week and over the weekend. We'll mix in some football, little breadcrumbs, little football here, more football to come later in the week, but a little bit of football here as we navigate the waters for the next 3 hours, taking you up till 5 a.m. with Al and CeeLo on the warm-up show. Again, the number, 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.